taking me up on my offer to speak, which I, this is my second lecture in the Word I've ever done. Sort of overriding title, what I want to talk about can be said to be something along the lines of turning from the elements, because there's going to be a number of Greek forms that I look at that constitute what I think is a fundamental theme that only runs one place in the Word, and that's through 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy. But alluding to what Mike had said, I'm actually a scientist, I'm not an engineer. That does have some bearing on what I'm talking about, because I feel we all take a certain approach to how we look at things, and it does really have to do with how we were trained and what we do for a living in this sort of thing. Mike waxes eloquent about how everything has gone away from things. But remember, he's a dentist. I don't think any of the rest of us have to worry about decay, infection, this sort of stuff, like he has to do on a day in, day out basis. So, sort of what you do for a living does affect how we would approach things. That's just the way it works, because we're human, we have our God-given ways that we do things. So, in general, I'm a scientist. I have a PhD in chemistry from the University of Arizona, so I do have Arizona roots myself. My oldest daughter was born in Arizona. Some of you actually know all of them. Many of you know some of them, some only one. So, whatever. We've been around for a while. I just don't tend to speak. Within the world of chemistry, I am what would be called an inorganic analytical chemist. Within that realm, I do what's called elemental analysis. It's the most fundamental part of chemical analysis that one can do. I deal with elements. They are my friends. They have personalities. I look at them differently than most people because that's what I work with. I was very pleased to see in Jason's presentation, we can drill it down even further if you want to do a little sub thing. He mentions the term anthana, which means hidden. My super subspecialty within what I do is the analysis of lanthanides, which are also called rare earths because they're hidden, they're hard to find, and they're very expensive. So there's not a lot of people in the world that can claim to do what I do. But the basis of what I do is I help the company I work for make these elements in certain specific combinations. We use the term stoichiometry to describe things. It's one of the most common words that I use. So it's not something that everybody does, but if I didn't do my job correctly, the people that I work with couldn't make our compounds correctly, and we couldn't sell them because if they don't have the correct stoichiometry, they won't do what they're supposed to do. And that makes our customers mad if they don't get what they expect to get. So I wanted to bring that up because it actually does have something to do with what I'm going to talk about, and hopefully you'll understand why when I get into this. I want to start with the first section. There's going to be a number of things. Again, a lot of what I'm going to do is based on 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy, developing the theme. But one has to go back further steps to get the elementary principles involved, or you get lost along the way, which I think is one of the problems. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a solid basis, you generally are going to get lost. Here's a practical example of that. I've never been here to this area before. I flew into the Madison Airport yesterday and made my way here. Did I just guess? No. I'm like a lot of humans. I use a GPS, but I use it differently than most people. I don't ask the GPS to tell me where to go. I tell it where I want to go and have it plan the thing out. So fundamentally, if you use a GPS, what does it tell you to do? Where to make your next turn? Well, if you don't, if you can follow what the GPS device would say, but sometimes it's wrong. And if you take a wrong turn, well, that's why I ended up here and not Thunder Bay, Ontario, is because I followed what was laid out, which I had done forwardly, which I didn't believe what the GPS said. I told it what to do. Apparently, Barney had a little different experience trying to get here than I did. You have to understand, us Westerners, all these trees and stuff really confuse us, okay? Because we're used to seeing, you know that ridge is 60 miles away, and you know you have to head that direction, but here all we see is trees. So we get real confused. I just had to mention that. So you're hard on some of us. So anyways, if you don't know where you're going, and you make the wrong turn, it's generally going to lead you someplace other than where you should be. So that's sort of the fundamental backdrop of what I'm talking about. So let's go to 1 Timothy. Ronnie conveniently covered this. In fact, a lot of the basic stuff I want to talk about was covered by people in various connections. Picking up in verse 3. So what we're told is, as I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, and found my discharged some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. The key verse here is verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. If you look at verse six, we have little notes in the CV on the term having swerved and the term turned aside. This actually forms sort of the basis of everything I'll be talking about. Trying to find the threads of these Greek forms through 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy. Looking first at the having swerved, it has the note that it's the Greek form asthokeo. Now, based on what I said of what I do, this Greek form literally reached out and grabbed me by the throat because it struck me as being something extremely important. This particular Greek form appears three places in Scripture, twice in 1 Timothy and once in 2 Timothy. Right in the books we're talking about, a unique term just for these books, used only by Paul. So my mind immediately says, well, what does this mean? Where does it come from? I kind of knew the answer before I started, but showing the proof was a little different. Took some interesting turns that I want to get to. So the second term is turning aside, and the CV 12 tells us. That says ektrepo mei. It's based on the Greek form ektrepo, a compound verb, and it shows where else it's used. This is also something that one is characteristic of Paul, because if you look at everything that's there, it really only appears in First Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Hebrews. Hebrews is not for our dispensation, however, it's a Paul book and very, very useful. So this is also a pretty exclusive term that is used by Paul. Most of the occurrences are in the First and Second Timothy. So that this is based on the Greek form ektrepa. Now that is a compound verb, and if you look at the basis for that, it's based on what would be the verb trepa. Well, similar to what Jason was saying, if you run across these things, that base form of the verb appears nowhere in the New Testament. I can't give you a strong number for it because it doesn't appear anywhere. So what does this really mean? It uses the term side, which turns out to be not too bad of a translation. But where does this really come from? There is a related form that we'll get into, which is based on the root form strepho, which is related to trepo. It's just an intensified version of it, and that does appear in the New Testament, but its base form is trepo. So my question with that was, what is that trying to tell me? What is this trepo? And what is trepo based on? Since it appears nowhere in the New Testament in the uncompounded form, where does this come from? So we have two things, two basic roots I'm trying to trace through. One is where the stokeo, the form astokeo. Jason was very kind in going how the leading alpha is a negative negation particle, so it means not of whatever follows it. Or whatever follows it doesn't appear anywhere in the New Testament. However, the related term, which is stoicheo, does appear in the New Testament, that root both in noun and verb form. So we'll trace that down. First, I want to go to the trepo, which is a basic verb which would be to turn, and sort of try to trace that down, and then I'll pick up the main thought of what I'm trying to do. Now, if you're looking for the term trepo, which appears nowhere, there's a related noun that's trope, which is a turning. Luckily, this in what we sang this morning, great is thy faithfulness, this line right here, there is no shadow of turning in thee, is the only place in the New Testament that this word trope appears. Does anyone know where this comes from? Jason, you can't answer because you probably know the answer. So it's James 1:17. So if we can turn to James 1:17, although we've already sung it, so we know what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It only has to appear once. That's an extremely good verse for it to appear in. So what does that basically mean? That's again, it's a noun form, and it means turning. But it's the only place in the New Testament that it appears. Well, we've heard this term before. Roger, last night, used the term geotropism to describe how the corn seed knows where to send its roots and what to go back up. It knows which way to go. the form trope for turning is actually a very, very fundamental physical meaning, has a very, very fundamental physical meaning in my world of chemistry. Obviously, I didn't know about the thing with the corn. Although most of the things around us look to be fairly solid, actually everything in the universe is in motion. Even the most fundamental, the most fundamental that you get, everything is in motion. Everything is turning, everything is rotating all the time. Geotropism is probably an example that fundamentally has to do with something fundamental that a lot of us aren't going to understand in the fundamental characteristic of what the constituents of your seed that senses that has some kind of rotation, revolution, turning involved, such that it will respond to the variation in the gravitational field that it's going to feel. Many of us, if we've had say an MRI scan, that's also a fundamental basis on a trope. It has to do with the anisotropy, the not altogether same and all distance nuclear spins. Fundamental property, for most people they call it MRI, most of us chemists or physicists call it nuclear magnetic resonance. It has to do with nuclear spins and the sensing of that. So we derive great benefit from a fundamental physical property. So, but am I making this up? I'm just making this up. I'm not really, but we only have one New Testament term, so I, like a lot of people, like to go to the Septuagint. Some years ago, Mike and Diane very kindly gave me a Septuagint and a concordance with it. So when I run into this fundamental thing, I say, well, let's go back to the Septuagint. And I found some two very interesting places in the Septuagint where that's the only two places that occurs. But I think it's very telling to understand this. The first would be in Deuteronomy 32:12. First of all, let's look at, go to there, in our King James, and see what it says, because the contrast with the Septuagint, I think, is extremely striking. So, Deuteronomy 33, what did I say? Deuteronomy 33:14. Now the King James reads, and it has to do, if you go to 13, and of Joseph he said, these are blessings of Moses, blessed be the Lord, but blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, and the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and brought forth as in italics, and the precious things brought forth by the moon, and the chief things of the ancient man. I'll stop there. But if you look at the Septuagint, the Greek in the Septuagint for verse 14 basically means, and of the fruits of the changes of the sun in season. It has to do with the Greek forms are paleotropa. So it's the paleo, the sun, changes of the sun. This has to do with winter and summer solstice. Trope is turning. I'm sure Roger can tell you all these things that happen. The thing again, that sort of goes back to the song that we sung this morning. Right down further, summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars and the courses above. Trope, the turning. The universe is in constant motion. The next place in the Septuagint that this appears is in Job. Let's see, Job chapter 36, I think it is. Job 38:33. Now, I don't know about you, but my kids know well that if you go to Job for something, you know you're in for something special.
Amen.
Because when you go and you start digging into Job, it's an absolutely amazing, amazing book. My wife has covered it very carefully with the kids. Again, what I think is interesting is the contrast between what we have for our King James, the 38:33. So let's go up a little bit to 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Nazaroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? In the Septuagint, the way verse 33 reads is, and knowest thou the changes of heaven? Changes of heaven. That turns out to be tropos, aruamo, changes of heaven, the changes of heaven. So this is a fundamental factor in the universe, is the troche. That's what I'm trying to get across. It's a turning. It's a fundamental thing. It's something we do all the time. We decide we go one way, we go another. The planets are in motion, the stars are in motion, you're in motion, everything is in motion. Everything has to do with the turning. So that's the fundamental basis of all the Greek forms, which are variations of this triple with compounded with prepositions that we're going to be looking at. But now what I want to go back to is the astokeo form, not fundamental, not elemental, is how I would do it. Something went wrong. Something is going wrong somewhere. People are missing the fundamentals. Right at the opening of 1 Timothy, this is brought up to Timothy. Paul knows it's a problem. He's experienced this. And you can see it more full-blown and not too distantly from Second Timothy. But I wanted to get back into looking at that term, because this took me some very, very interesting places that I actually didn't expect would happen. But that's always what happens. We're sort of trying to get a feel for the base form of the stoic, the Greek form stoic. Sigma tau, omicron, iota, chi. Stoic means elemental in my world, fundamental, basic, the most fundamental you can get to. If you look at the combined occurrences of the related noun and verb forms of this, there's 12 occurrences of the stoikeion, verb or stoikeo, or noun, stoikeo verb in the New Testament. There's 12 occurrences. 9 of those 12 occurrences are used by Paul. One of the occurrences is directed at Paul. So you have 10 of the occurrences that have something to do with Paul. Either he used it or it was directed towards him. There's only 2 occurrences that have nothing to do with Paul. And amazing as things seem to go, are in 2 Peter. You ever notice that? How a lot of some of these fundamental things, If Paul hasn't used them, they wind up in 1st or 2nd Peter. I don't know if anybody else has ever noticed that, but I've noticed that a lot. So I want to go through those in order, because we sort of go across a number of dispensational boundaries here, but it's common theme. And I think it's something we have to understand. So the first place it appears is in Acts 21. Acts 21, starting with verse 15. This obviously has nothing to do directly with our dispensation. However, it has a lot to do with Paul, and hence makes it of somewhat importance to us. So, picking up in verse 15, and after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. So this is Luke speaking as a companion of Paul. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, in other words, they rag about Paul, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, and neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. We know that they do. Do therefore that which that we say to you. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know those things where they were informed of thee concerning thee or nothing. But that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. To walk us orderly, that's spectacular. Now, it's kind of strange in my mind, or causing a short circuit, to go from what I think of as the elements to walk. Well, this isn't the last time this term occurs. In fact, most of the places this is a verb that is used as a verb is translated walk. I find that very interesting because it shows up in places that I wasn't expecting. So the next place being in Romans 4:12. So if you go to Romans 4:12. Somewhere above Romans 4:12. Starting at verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh his blessedness upon circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of faith, which had yet been being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Walking in the steps. Orderly walking. Stoichia. In other words, where comes out what? Has to do a lot, that is not dispensational, but the term has to do with walking orderly, following in the steps, following the rules. Now, the noun form of the places where it comes as noun form, which we'll get to when we turn to Galatians 4. One point is that whenever the use is the only two places that it has nothing to do with Paul on 2 Peter, we'll get to that, but that's used without an article. Every time Paul uses the term, stoicheion, it's with an article. One of the fundamental principles of using something with an article is that when you use an article, when you want to emphasize the thing that it modifies, the what, whatever, we use the image. It's an infinite emphasis point. Without an article, a noun could be thought as trying to convey the quality of the noun, the fundamental thing that makes it what it is, rather than a specific attribute. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's one of the fundamental uses for the article. So if you go to in Romans 4, Galatians 4. This is also the first of two places where within the same body of text he uses it twice. He does it in Galatians, he also does it in Colossians. I don't need to get through all of this, but maybe we'll want to hear more later. So Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant, though he be lord of all. But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed to love the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. The elements. Tospokeo. Continuing further down. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, the Ephesians. And became ye of sons, God hath sent, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how ye turn, turning again to the weak and beggarly elements. Weak and beggarly elements. Thus, again, same thing. They're weak and beggarly. So elements can be good, elements can be bad. So here, maybe people want to return to the bad elements. So in Galatians 5:25, back to the verb form, we'll pick it up at 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against them there is no law. And when they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk. It's the same as this. The verb stoicheio. Walk in the Spirit. Ordered by the Spirit. So, and that's the Greek behind this is that happens to be what's the grammatic is born as a present subjunctive active, which refers to continuous repeated action regardless of when the action took place, with some element of definiteness about it. Continuing on in Galatians, we have the Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:16. Sorry about that. 15 and 16. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Walk according to this rule. The rule, in this case, is the Greek form canon, the Greek canonized. It's also kind of a Paul word. That's in the future tense, so it's a point in time in the future. It's not necessarily now. Now let's cross the dispensational boundary and go into Philippians. Philippians 3:15 through 16. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything yet be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Walk by the same rule. The Greek is actually almost exactly the same as in the Galatians. And the difference here is this is an interesting use of an infinitive, but a present infinitive. The implication also is continuous, something you continue to do. It's continuous motion. It's not just an occurrence, it's something that's happening. It's an infinitive. It's not bound by time or space or anything. It's just something that has a verbal idea. Going back to the noun form in Colossians chapter 2. Two ways. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. Same as elements, rudiments, fundamental things of the world. It's not the good thing, it's bad. We don't want the elements of the world. And a little further down in Galatians 2:20, where if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? It's elements can be bad, elements can be good, follow the proper rule, elements can be bad if they're someplace else. So I don't want to get into the last one. It's in Hebrews, but it's actually pretty complicated. And there's two occurrences of this in 2 Peter, but that has to do with the end, with everything melting. It makes me a little frightened to think about this. It sounds like a nuclear meltdown to me. So where is this all being? Not that I have a whole lot of time to go over all of the details, but I want to at least bring out the verses of which I think there is a consistent theme building up. This also strikes me as being one thing that's different, which Ronnie brought up last night, the difference between the Timothys. This topic is introduced more or less in 1 Timothy. It's continued to be developed in Titus. In 2 Timothy, it reaches what I would call a fever pitch, a clarion call warning. Paul is desperately, it's like someone drowning. He's desperately bringing stuff out. This was only within the space of a year or so. So I have far more than I could ever go through in the amount of time that I have. If you want to hear more, I can continue this some other time. But I want to go through these verses, because if I want to get them down, you want to take them down so you can look into this, and I'll try to go through some of these. The verses that I'm talking about are in 1 Timothy, verse 1-6, that we already studied, 5:15, 6:20, and 6:21. In Titus, And in Titus 1:11, 1:14, and 3:11. In 2 Timothy 1:15, 2:14, 2:18, 3:5, and 4:4. So let's just start in order and time that I had the meeting, but I at least want to read through these. I'll try to bring out some aspects that I can. There's actually quite a lot of depth in this if one takes the time. But it's sort of when I was going through this, it sort of really struck me between what like Brian was saying last night, the last time Brian spoke at Cal Talk, showing that, you know, 2 Timothy being really the latest of the books written. This to me shows this in a sort of practical thing. So I read the first part of 1 Timothy. The second part in 1 Timothy 5, very brief thing, is basically a practical application. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guard the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So it's already happening. It's not everything, but that's the same. In each of these occurrences in 1 Timothy, the Greek form is the same. It's the ectrepo form. Now, where the rubber really meets the road is in 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, false and so-called. Horrible translation of that verse. All of that opposition to science, false to call, is basically misplaced false knowledge. The word science shouldn't appear, although it basically means knowledge. So, as a scientist, yes, I like science being equated with knowledge, but that's not what it means here. From which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Two things here. One, in verse 20, the word that they're avoiding is the ectrepo. It's the same verb. It's the same verb that shows up in the other occurrences in Timothy. And so avoiding, I don't think is a very good term to translate it with. It should be turning away. Turning away is actually a pretty good translation of that. And that's actually one of the only places, the only two places where he's given these commands to Timothy. Most of them to Timothy and Titus are examples which are to be avoided. There's bad examples showing what is happening. Yeah. So only two of them, but they're both done in a positive fashion to Timothy. Because in this one, it basically has to do with the verb is to keep. It's actually participle, and it means that you should have already been doing this. So Timothy's on the right track. Other people aren't, but Timothy is. In verse 21, the word erred is the astokeo, the second of three occurrences. Of this thing. So I don't like the word "err." I don't like the word "slur." I think the English translation is a poor choice of words. It means, to me, my mind is from what I built up, turning away from the elemental, the fundamentals, the basic principles. Both of the terms that were both of the Greek forms that were used in 1 Timothy show up again in 2 Timothy. Okay, now I'm going to go to Titus. Titus 1:11. Actually, I'm going to go through 10 through 14. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of them themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, so those. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. In this passage, we basically have two Greek forms that have been introduced into this discussion. The first in verse 1:11. Where it's subvert is the Greek form anatrepo. It's another turning away. All of these are negative things that we do. They all have to do with motion away from something. Basically, a wrong term. This term appears only in Titus and 2 Timothy. It appears nowhere else. So I think it's a very special term. In 114, the term from is an other form, which is apostrepho. Strepho and trepho being related. Strepho is an intensified version of trepho. So two more Greek forms, both of which are brought up again in 2 Timothy. So now in 3:11, Titus 3:11, do you have to leave? Sorry. Okay. We're in 3:11. We go to 3:9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and conventions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. That word subverted is based on the Greek form ekstrepho. This is the only place it occurs in all Scripture. This is a unique word to Paul and a unique word to Titus. So that appears no place else. I don't really like the word subverted. It's basic. Basic is a turning away. One could be subverted by doing that, but the basic is turning away from the fundamentals. Now, in First Timothy, the first place is in 1:16, and this is already covered. Second Timothy 1:16. Here's one telling point. So in 13 through 15. Hold fast the form of sound words, we hear that very often, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep, that the word you see again, that by the Holy Spirit dwelt in us. This thou knowest, that all that they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are the jealous and homogenous. 1 Timothy and Titus, some. We get the 2 Timothy, all turned away. Mm-hmm. This is the same Greek form that appeared in Titus 1:14. It happens to open 2 Timothy as well as close 2 Timothy. So he repeats it three times. I think that gives it its importance. So I don't think I could really go much beyond that because it gets very, very complicated once we get into 2 Timothy. Because I believe it's a theme that is very important to Paul. And the most striking characteristic that I could say is that when I'm looking at these and I try to categorize all of the Greek forms grammatically and everything, the grammar changes, the tone changes from 1 Timothy into 2 Timothy. Basically everything when we start in 1 Timothy generally narrows tense just means this happens. Historical things that Paul is saying, sort of this is happening. Or this has happened, look what can happen. By the end of 2 Timothy, he's using future tenses. This is going to happen in the future. This is what's coming down the road. That's where we are, though, is what Paul was seeing years and years ago, we're in the middle of. That's why it's important that we hold on to the fundamentals. More than anything else, I don't know how other folks like to label us, and I don't really care. The thing that gets me, the reason why we've always been associated with this group, is the main characteristic I believe we all share, is a desire to hold on to those elemental principles, the fundamental basis of things.
Amen.
Learn those, see where it takes us, and stick to it. None of us are going to get famous for doing this. But I think we all have a fundamental feel of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to go about doing it.
Amen.
And that's what makes this group, in my mind, unique. So there's a lot more to this. If someone wants me to do more of this some other time, I'd be more than glad, because it's just scratched the surface.